pressure, mistake as well. Fleming's in here, it's a gift. Delicate from G to Wrighton and Kerr, 2-0. Cuthbert to Kirby, it's 3. One right before half-time and one right after. And in goes the ball again, it's Eriksson, almost on the goal line.
What's up, Blues fans? Brandon London here, and I want to welcome you all to the Chelsea Mic'd Up Podcast, the official Chelsea FC podcast. Again, I'm Brandon London, and I'm coming to you from New York City, and I got my friends with me as always.
I'm Emily. I'm coming to you from Chicago.
And I'm Andre. I'm in the DMV.
And I'm Lee, and I'm at home in London.
All right. Now, it may have been an international break for the Chelsea men team, but there is no lack of entertainment that came from CFC this weekend. The Chelsea women gave us an award-winning performance against Servette and Man City. 11 goals, ladies and gents. 11 goals total to nil in two matches. I'm a Gladiator guy, the movie. So in the words of Maximus, are you not entertained? On today's episode, we're joined by the one and only Pernilla Harder. And she's talking everything from the stacked women's roster to who's a better cook between her and Magda. I wonder which one does the air fry, because I'm an air fry guy myself. And you're not going to want to miss it. Lee does a great job. So let's go, Blues. And as I mentioned, we're the official CFC podcast. And what makes us unique? We have boots in the ground all the way out there in London. So, Lee Parker, talk us through the weekend roundup.
Wow, thanks, Brandon. What a weekend it was. It was interesting, wasn't it? We spoke last week about the prospect of it being a pivotal weekend in the WSL title race. And I tell you what, it could well have proven that way as well, couldn't it? Thanks to Spurs, say it quietly, taking a couple of points off of Arsenal. But let's focus on the magnificent Chelsea women who are on fire at the moment. As you touched on at the start, two clean sheets this past week. And the small matter of 11 goals, 7-0 against Servette. And they were just phenomenal from first minute to last. Looking forward to the second game with them coming up this week. And then, of course, Man City 4-0 away from home. And a special someone made her long-awaited comeback as well.
Great to be back on the pitch with the girls. This means everything to me. Come on, Chelsea.
She's back!
I think the outpouring of emotion showed just how much Marin means to everybody at the club, an absolute superstar in every sense. We welcome her back. Well, let's focus on the Man City game, shall we? Such a big, big fixture. It always is, isn't it, at the top of the WSL table. Jesse Fleming getting up and running within, I think, 70 seconds. And then Sam Kerr right before halftime to make things a bit more comfortable. It was interesting, wasn't it? But Emma Hayes was saying it was far from their best performance, especially in that first half, Andre. And she certainly made some tactical changes, didn't she, as the game progressed?
I'm happy with the result. I'm happy with our ability to manage a really adverse first half. We were not at our best. We struggled to get a press on in the first half. They managed to overload us in our midfield areas, and we had to free up one of our back players to go and help with that. That still wasn't enough. We then had to make another adjustment at half-time. By the second half, the team really came together and I think delivered devastating blows with the second goal just before half-time. But the third and fourth goal, immense, all well worked to the training ground. You know, the restarts were excellent.
That's the fun thing about this team is that they needed to make adjustments. They needed to make a tactical change, and they were still up 2-0 at halftime. That's just how dangerous this team can be. But yeah, it was, you could see it, you know, that first half. As Emma Hayes said, the midfield was really overrun. They did a good job of overloading in midfield, and it was difficult. It's kind of the thing with the 3-4-3 formation. You only have two midfielders in there. They were overloading that space, and it was difficult to adjust. But again, when we start off the match that quickly with Jesse Fleming reading that bad pass from the goalkeeper to a defender, intercepting it as quickly as she did, just the awareness and closing speed is incredible. And then that goal before halftime, I think that was my favorite goal, because just how do you stop that? That's what's so dangerous with this team. How do you stop something like that? They take the ball in midfield and they just steam forward, and you get another one of those halfway across the pitch passes. Gulrighton's over there to head back to Sam Kerr. It's just like, It's like they're playing ping pong or something out there. It's just great how the ball just flies around and eventually it'll end up in the back of the net. You just don't really know how.
I feel like it was just two episodes ago, maybe even last episode. Time is a warp to me, guys. But we were kind of complaining about this team, saying there's just so many different players that can play, which is great, but we haven't been able to find a rhythm or continuity with the lineup. But this game almost gave me a new perspective that we have so many players who are great who can all play amazing roles. And you look at Jessie Fleming, who last year, you know, we wondered, why was she not playing? Does she have a future with this team? This year, it's so clear she is a player that Emma Hayes can trust in all situations. I look at Erin Cuthbert. I love the way that they put her on the best player, Lauren Hemp, and she was just following her around there in man defense. I don't know if they call it man D, but seemed man-to-man D to me. And she was just shutting her down, our Scottish Lionel Messi out there. And yeah, it honestly, it all just clicked and it felt great. And I love rooting for a second half team. Like the first half, they were pressing us. I felt like we couldn't handle that press. Although, as Andre said, we got two goals. And then the second half, they just figured out a way and they totally broke that game loose. So it's nice to see after kind of a tough start for them just to finish so confidently.
And it's one of those things where we say in the sports over here, coaches coach, players play. And you always want to be associated with a coach that puts you in position to get the best out of you. And we're seeing that from both the men's team with Thomas Tuchel and the women's team with Emma Hayes. And not many managers are going to make changes or drastic changes when you're already ahead 2-0. But when you see that your team could be struggling or you see that you're weak in certain areas, and then you go and make some sort of drastic change, and then you even bring in a Sophie Ingle for a substitution, that just shows you really know your team. You really know the pulse of your team. And the players definitely responded to that in the second half.
Yeah, you can really see the trust, obviously. The trust really built up between the players and Emma Hayes. I mean, that's the thing with the team is that you have to understand, like Brandon was saying, that the manager's going to have your back and put you in the right situations. And, you know, the team also held their end of the bargain, right? You know, they were under a lot of pressure. They defended well. Massive shout out to Ann Katchenberger, our goalkeeper. She made some incredible saves. It probably should have been at least 2-1 at a half. But she kept them out of the net with some incredible saves. So, yeah, the team held up its end of the bargain until Emma Hayes could get in there and make the adjustment by making that halftime switch, you know, a couple other tactical things. But after that, it was comfortable. And then you get two more goals and it's a 4-0 win away at what's supposed to be a rival. Not really a rival anymore if you look at the table. But that match was still really important to get 3 points from.
You know, Lee talked about the team earlier and used the word ruthless, which I love. Do you know what's real ruthless? Sam Kerr signing a new extension. I didn't even know it was up or a possibility. Like, I thought she was signed until 2022, but she's going to stay around until 2024. What I think is the coolest about it, honestly, is I was thinking about it. Sam Kerr is a player who has won Golden Boot Awards in 3 different leagues across 3 different continents. She is a world-class player. She could probably play anywhere she wants. And in signing this extension, she's like, you know, I thought about it, and this is the right time for me, and this is the right team for me, because I can't think of anywhere besides Chelsea where I'd have a better situation, where I can score goals, be around this world-class talent that elevates me every day, and we can also win trophies. And that's just such a cool thing to hear about the team that you support.
I'm so glad you mentioned the ruthlessness. I've been telling people to watch this team like they are absurd, but because for a number of reasons, but mainly, you know, a new formation, you know, some players playing in some roles that are somewhat unfamiliar. Agoa Wrighton's never really played left wing back before. She's our left wing back. You know, there's a lot of players that aren't quite in positions that are familiar to them. So it's been a while since they've had performances like these, but they're back. I was watching my timeline in that 7-0 against Servette, and people are like, oh, is there a mercy rule? And I'm like, oh, no mercy. More, add more, as many as you can. Like, this is what this team does. And Emma Hayes preaches that. She wants the team to get ruthless. When you get a goal, get another. When you get another, get another.
You get to see that when they're counters, when they're attacking. It's like they know. I know where you're going to be. I know where you're going to be. I know how to shoot for power or shoot for placement. It's just you're seeing like tactical brilliance in a sense. And it's just I wanted to say this all day. It's just so cheeky to watch. I just wanted to say that.
Good use of the word. Lucky enough, earlier I went to have a quick catch up with Emma Hayes. I haven't done that in a while, and she's on really good form. And I said, how are you? How are the girls? And she's like, recovering. Because these games are coming thick and fast. And I said, I don't know how you're managing it. And she says, well, it's just like the men's team, isn't it? I said, well, it is. But the travel as well. And if you look at the recent record, it's 4 away games on the spin, 14 goals scored, 1 conceded. When you consider that's Juventus, Villa, Servette and Man City away. And it is, it's a con, but she's like, it's great now. We've got 2 home games. We're back. And she said, we've got 2 home games to look forward to. And that's something to build upon, because when you're doing this sort of thing and you're putting goals past teams in this sort of fashion, to then come back to King's Meadow, it becomes a fortress, doesn't it?
And I can't wait. I'm really excited. I'll admit, I was a little nervous about this away stretch because it was so much travel in such a short period of time. It was so difficult. And as I've, you know, mentioned before, the team has been, you know, in a state of change, you know, changing certain things, certain players doing different things. But, you know, this is what I've wanted to see in that Frank Kirby goal. Outrageous. The technique to put that across the goal, the entire width of the goal, keep it away from the goalkeeper and into the far side netting, that is just outrageous. And the goalkeeper almost couldn't do anything when she got to just watch the ball, just kind of stared at it. And it was just like, that's going to go in, isn't it? Yeah, that's in. All right. That's in.
But wait, Andre, was it outrageous or was it cheeky?
You know what? I think it can be both. You can make it like a Starbucks order, right? You get like a half shot of cheeky. And some outrageous, mm-hmm. right? I think it'd be a mix of both.
Okay. All right, I'm about to be 100% cheeky here because we're about to move on and talk about the men and Andre.
Let's do it.
Do you have any words of apology against Christian Pulisic on his podcast last week?
Absolutely not, because I root for Chelsea. I don't root for the U.S. men's national team. I mean, it's great to see them doing well, but I want Christian Pulisic to be back at Cobham healthy. Still got a game to play. We'll see.
Okay, that's fair. You don't root for the U.S. men's national team. It's clear that Brandon and I do, and it was a huge, massive win. But can you root for the confidence of Christian Pulisic as he gets back into the Chelsea lineup after a huge international goal that galvanized our country,
got us
one step closer to qualifying for a major world tournament, which we've so desperately craved?
If he comes back healthy, sure.
Wow, shame him.
Ruthless.
That's really all I want. I want him to come back and do it for Chelsea. I want him healthy on the pitch for Chelsea doing that, because that's what I really want to see. They better qualify for the World Cup, obviously. Like, it was a disaster, you know, the last cycle. So I'm glad, but my focus is on Chelsea in this season. I want him back doing that stuff in Chelsea blue.
You want his body to be physically ready, but this was great for his mental. We talk about
Brandon. Yes. Talk
a luck. We talk about shooter shoot. We've been talking about this type of things. And I believe it was me, Andre, who said that this could be great for him to go and to score and to play well. And then to get back out there against the Leicester City and back in the Premier League. And it's like, bam. I'm the man in the mirror. I am the man in the mirror.
Yes.
As long as he comes back healthy and all that remains true, yes, you are right. But we still got to see if he's coming back healthy.
Okay. Well, Big Rom is getting healthy because we saw him back at the Cobham training ground. And something I'm excited about is the connection between Lukaku and Christian Pulisic if they can get on the pitch together. And it sounds like that could happen soon. Lee, am I wrong?
Let's hope so. No, you're not wrong. No, let's hope so. Let's wrap Christian in cotton wool and get him home safely, as you rightly said there, Andre. Good to see Romelu back out on the pitch this week. You know, he said he was feeling good, that, you know, the pain is alleviated in the ankle. He's out running freely. He looks really happy, which is fantastic. So for him now, as we record this, it's a case of getting back into the team dynamic and getting that match fitness back. Great to see him back outside. Great to see Mason Mount back as well. I don't know if you guys saw the clips on social media. Bless him.
We saw.
He is hardcore. Spoke to him today and I said, how many wisdom teeth did you have out? 2? And he said, no, all 4. I said, all 4 in one go. Yep. Wow. So not surprised he was up to his eyeballs in painkillers, the poor kid, but he's had it all done. He was, you know, he's back training. He's outside. He's just putting some muscle mass back on now, but he's feeling good. Wow.
Not to be whatever, but I did get 4 at once too. But what I was going to say is it made me feel old because all of my friends got their wisdom teeth taken out after high school. And it just reminded me that he's a baby.
Oh, let's not talk about age.
Chelsea, Leicester City. It looks like we'll be getting as close to 100% in terms of personnel back, which is great. Predictions.
I'm feeling an offensive breakout. I'm feeling the boys are going to get a little foot happy, and I'm feeling a maybe 4 now.
Oh, good lord. Like, wow.
You know, I'm always the one that's the most overzealous here.
I love the confidence.
I like it. I
try to manifest it.
It's interesting, isn't it, with it being the early kickoff as well, with the players sort of coming back. And I know we spoke, I think, at the end of the last international break. It's a case of getting everybody back, trying to make sure, you know, who's fit, who's available, getting through a very quick tactical run out, maybe on the Friday, depending on what time players get back on the Thursday. And then they'll travel. They'll travel Friday afternoon, Friday evening. There'll be an early press conference on Friday from Thomas Tuchel. I think he's going to speak to the media at around 10:30 in the morning. So an early press conference so he can get all of his tactical work done. And then they'll travel up to the Midlands for the game, the early kickoff with Leicester. And Leicester's always a tough game. Always a tough game. It's an FA Cup final rematch, isn't it? Talk about attacking threats. My goodness, they have some attacking threats. You just want an early goal to settle any nerves. Let's hope Romelu's fit and firing. If not, let's get Kai back from international duty, fit and healthy. Another big performance. 3 more points, please.
Yeah, this is exactly one of those things that I hate. An international break and then the early kickoff on Saturday. I hate that combination of things, but it is going to be a tough match. Obviously, I'm always going to choose Chelsea to win. I'm always going to predict that. But I think it's going to be a rough one. So I'm thinking 2-1.
Let's be confident. Let's pick up where we left off before the 4-0,
guys.
4. Go for it.
Let's do it.
Sure.
All right. For the women versus Servette in the Champions League again, 15-0. I want to be on the safe side and just go 15.
And I'm the overzealous one. I mean, look, this is a mismatch. It's, you know, the bottom feeder in this group, and they haven't, I don't think they've gotten a point yet in this tournament. So
not a goal yet.
Not a goal yet. And based off of the way we played them last time, 7-0, a football score in America. I'll just say repeat.
Yeah, I think you're going to see heavy rotation in this match. I really think that's what you're going to end up seeing. And honestly, probably sounded a bit brutal, a bit ruthless, as Emery's would say before when I was talking about, you know, score more and more and more. But that's kind of the thing with these matches. You know, and especially in group stages, goal differential does end up mattering as well. So you get as many as you can when you can. So this match, there's not going to be a ton of pressure. Emma Hayes can make some rotation, do some rotation, get some players some experience and on the pitch. But obviously, like we said, they still have a lot of depth. Oh, I don't think it's going to be another 7-0, though. I'm going to go 4-0.
Just like last
time. I was thinking along the lines. I was thinking 4 or 5. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, the way that the fixtures are this week, because it's very similar to the way that the men's were a couple of years back in the Europa League, playing Thursday and then Sunday. So it's given Emma Hayes an extra day off. Well, the players an extra day off, should I say, following that win at the weekend at City. So, yeah, I had 5-0 in my head. But I think you're absolutely right, Andre. I think we can expect rotation with Birmingham coming to King's Meadow on Sunday, which, again, the way that this title race is shaping up could be a big, big game, especially when you look at, I think, Arsenal go to Man United as well in the early kickoff. So more than one eye on that one. And then, you know, let's hope that the girls get the job done.
For you fans who are listening, don't forget to participate in the Play Predictor game on the Chelsea Fifth Stand app by predicting the match score, and you could win some really cool prizes. Win some really cool stuff and see how you match up against our predictions. The 15-0, that might be a little bit too much, but if I'm right, then I'm going to be mad that I didn't play Vegas odds on that. You know Chelsea Mic'd Up is the official podcast, and we got access to the players. We got access to the coaches, from Thomas Tuchel to Antonio Rudiger to Kai Havertz. The list goes on and on. Lee, I'll let you throw to that.
A true superstar in every sense. She covered a lot of ground. We answered some tricky fan questions, which we'll get to. We talked trophies to tacos to everything in between. Here is the one and only Pernilla Harder. Pernilla, first of all, welcome to the podcast. It's great to see you. First up, how are things? How are you?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Enjoying a day off yesterday and my birthday. So, yeah, I'm good.
Good. A very happy belated birthday, of course. What's it like celebrating over here with Magda and with your friends?
Yeah, it's good. And also my parents, they came actually yesterday. So I got to celebrate it with them as well. So, yeah, we had a good day, just chilling, and went out for good dinner in the evening.
It must be so nice to finally catch up with family, having sort of gone through lockdown and being away from everybody.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's been so different this year. I've been able to travel back, see my family, and they have been able to come here a few times already. ready this, yeah, after summer. So yeah, it's been so different from last year.
Feels like only 5 minutes ago we did that first interview when you joined up at Stamford Bridge. Take us back to that decision, and obviously such a big career move for you. What made you initially want to come to Chelsea?
There was so much going on in England, and also Chelsea as a club. It's a big club. It has a lot of values. I saw how the team, the women's team, have developed a lot over the years, and I feel like it would only keep developing. I feel like it was a perfect move. Great team with great players, great staff, coaches. So I feel like it could be a really good place to be for me to develop as well.
Absolutely. A great first season, of course. What were the biggest challenges from moving from one league to another in the way that you did?
I think when you come into a new team and new environment, it takes some time to adapt, to get to know your teammates, to get to know the opponents, the league, how everything is in the league. First year always is a little bit like up and down. Some really good moments individually and some less good performances maybe. But then as a team, we did really good, won the league, won the cup, went to the Champions League final. So it was a great first season as well.
But you mentioned some of the personal highlights. Do you have any that stand out, whether it be a match or a goal so far?
The match against Bayern Munich at home, the semi-final in Champions League, was amazing. It was an amazing game. And I think the goal I made in that game was one of the most important ones in that season. So that was cool.
So many to choose from. And there is so much quality in this team, this squad. The strength in depth at the moment is phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think we have so many good players. We have big talents as well who keeps developing and coming into the team. And the quality in training is so high. And I'm happy to be here, to be a part of it. I think it's important when you're in a club, you want to develop as an individual as well all the time and as a team. And I think that's something we do here. We develop as a team and as an individual, it's the perfect surroundings to develop, because you have high competition, high quality every training.
And the quality comes right from the top. Let's talk about the boss. What makes Emma Hayes such an effective leader?
She focuses on what we have to do to be able to win. And then she looks up on all the different parameters you can look at. And I think that's something she does really good. She's a great motivator. Yeah, when she talks, you listen, because she know what to say to make us motivated.
What's she like behind the scenes? Because again, we talk about characters. She is such a fantastic character on and off the pitch, isn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. She just does a lot for women's football. She has done a lot for this club, for the women's team in this club. And she keeps doing it. And I think that's really impressive. I mean, she speak up when she has an opinion about things. She also speak a lot, like outside the pitch. But I think that's really good. I enjoy listening to her.
I'm sure you did. You did well there. You did well. What do you think that Emma and you guys as a squad, what have you learned collectively from that Champions League final last season?
Well, I think we got some experience. It's important with experience in a tournament like Champions League, and especially playing a final like this. And what it takes to... We especially learned what it takes to get to the final. We did it already last year, and we can do it again. Playing a final is a lot of nerves. It's a lot of excitement. It's one game that decides if you are winner or number two. So I think we learned that we have to be there from the beginning. It's something about the mentality also. And I think that game gave us a lot of experience. So we will be standing much better this year if we reach the final.
I guess these are the sort of experiences throughout your career that you do, like you touched on with the Champions League final, you learn from, and I guess you evolve following experiences like this, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. You learn from all the games you play during your career. You learn from the wins, but I think you learn actually the most from the downs, from the games you lose, from the setbacks you have in your career. I think that's the time you actually learn the most when you get on the other side of it. And so absolutely, you learn a lot from it, even though the best thing would be to win all the time. But sometimes you have to lose to win.
You use that word mentality. I guess that was one of the key things, one of the key attributes that you brought to this squad, because you had so much experience playing at that top level.
Yeah, I turned 29 yesterday, so I'm having quite much experience now.
You're making me feel old. Yeah. Stop it.
I played 3 finals in Champions League and other finals, and playing a big game. So as more as you play these games, you you don't get used to it, but you know how you react before the games, how you have to prepare for the games, how you prepare yourself mentally to be able to perform at 100% in these games. Yeah, of course, the whole season you talk about football, how we should play. Your whole career, you have developed your skills. So when we play good, when we play bad, if we play bad, it's not so much about like the quality of us, because we have the quality we have. It's more about the mentality that you can get all of it out at that time to that final. And that's something I think you learn for every final, for every big game you play, how to be able to get everything out in that moment. And yeah, it's really different from person to person. So that's something you have to find out.
Talk to us about mentality then, and your captain, because she is quite a leader in Magda, isn't she? What is she like to play with on the same team?
I think she wants a high quality in practice. She wants high quality in games. If we're not focused, if it's not going the way we want to, she tells us, she speaks up about it. But then she also leads on the pitch. I mean, she always gives everything in training and in the games. And she is leading by example. And I think that's one of the most important qualities of a leader.
You have such a good dynamic, the two of you. How did you spoke about lockdown a little earlier. How did the two of you sort of manage that process and get each other through what was a very difficult time?
Yeah, there was a lot of ups and downs during a season. And I think during lockdown, it made the downs worse, because you're not able to go anywhere to think about something else. Like when you can only go home, be in your apartment, you think about the bad things. And then it's important that we could help each other. And sometimes you get irrational thoughts about stuff, but then I think we help each other to get back, to get rational, think about what's most important to think about and focus on to get further. That way we are really good in helping each other.
I remember speaking to Magda quite early during lockdown, and she said, oh, we do a lot of cooking. We cook for each other. Who's the best cook? Come on, you can tell us.
Oh, Magda is the best cook.
Really?
Yeah, she also enjoyed the most. So,
what's her specialist dish? What would she cook?
She does different stuff, but she's really good at making like tacos with the fish tacos, some Asian salads and poke balls.
Like it. Very varied. How are the two of you dealing with the fact that you're such big role models now, aren't you, to people coming into the game, to people watching all around the world? Is that something that you've really enjoyed in the last couple of years?
After you found out that we are role models and that we have got bigger platforms and people are looking up to us, I think we do enjoy it, but we also just ourselves in it. Like we don't change anything to be role models. We think it's important for us to be act normal, but then maybe show more of who we are and what our values are, and to speak up about them, because we have learned that there are people who listen to us.
Absolutely. And we saw that come through in that brilliant piece, that Wing Women piece that the two of you did together. Loved that. Loved the accent, by the way. Were you practicing before you filmed?
No, not at all. I didn't know I had to do it. And like I said in the video, I don't even have a normal English accent. So for me to start to speak British, that was a posh British.
I liked it. Yeah? I wouldn't know anything about being posh, so I can't comment. How's the American accent? I know there'll be viewers, listeners desperate to hear your American accent.
No, I don't think that's good either, to be honest. I don't even know how to start.
We've got plenty of fan questions, as I'm sure you can imagine, Pernilla. I'm going to go through a few of them for you. Talking about similar to what we were talking about with regards to lockdown, it comes from YouTube J9B, who asks, how is life in London and how much have you been enjoying living in the city?
Yeah, I love it, especially now when I actually can enjoy it and do all the stuff I wanted to do last year. I love to go on restaurants, and there are so many good restaurants in London. I mean, I can find a new one every day if I wanted to. I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I enjoy playing here and then having the life outside football as well.
Absolutely. Next question comes from Blockab One, who asks, how do you keep positive vibes going in the changing room, and how does the changing room react to disappointments and defeats?
Yeah, I mean, to keep it positive in the changing room, it's not that difficult. We have a really good we have a good team. We have a good environment in the team. When we lose, when we have bad moments, if we're not playing that good, we're good in like analyzing it and then put it behind us and look at the next game, and we cannot dwell in in bad moments, in bad games. We can learn from it and then take it with us for the next game.
Next question comes from some of our friends at the Chelsea Women Supporters Group, who ask, tell us about the Chelsea fans and what's it like performing in front of them at King's Meadow once again?
They're amazing. I really enjoyed it the last few games I played there. Love to celebrate with them after a goal. I feel we can hear them all the time also when we're playing. It's such a big difference at King's Meadow this season than last season when it was empty. I enjoy it so much.
Absolutely. And this final one from the fans comes in from Koi B CFC, who asks, how did it feel to take to the field for the very first time wearing the blue of Chelsea?
Yeah, it was a special moment. The first game is always special. It was also a proud and happy moment to wear this shirt. And for each game, I get even more proud to be a part of it. And to sum it up, it was a proud moment.
Now, as you know, Pernilla, this podcast goes out all around the world, of course, but specifically all across America. The game just continues to grow. What does it mean to you to see so many Chelsea women's supporters groups just popping up all across the globe? It's a huge thing at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we feel it. We feel how it's growing, the women's game, and also the fan base, or what you can call it, for Chelsea women. It's new fans from different places in the world all the time. Chelsea as a club is big, and I can feel that coming here, got a lot of new Chelsea fans following me around the world.
Exciting times, Pernilla. Finally, before I let you go, what do you think is achievable with this group this year and beyond?
Well, I think everything is achievable and everything is possible for this team, as long as we keep focusing on the target and we keep focusing on developing our game to get even better all the time, to put in the effort, to put in the hard work we have to do on the pitch to get there, because the competition is just getting higher and higher. We see that with the other teams in Europe. It's such a high competition for winning Champions League, for example. And yeah, we have to work harder than the other teams to win it. But I think we have the quality, no doubt about that.
Absolutely, you surely do. Thank you so much for your time, Pernilla. It's been a real pleasure. We wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season. And we'll catch up soon. Thanks again.
Thank you.
So there we go, our epic interview with the one and only Pernilla Harder. I could have talked to her for hours, but, you know, thank you for her. She had other things to do, because otherwise we'd have been there all day. But she really is fantastic. Great talker, really insightful. Some fascinating anecdotes in there as well. Exciting weekend ahead for the men's and the women's. Thankfully, the last international break of this calendar year is done, but my goodness, there's going to be a lot of football to look forward to from now right through to the new year. Loads to enjoy from the men's perspective. My goodness, Leicester, Juve, Man United. Wow, doesn't get much bigger than that. But for the women as well, another opportunity to rack up some goals, hopefully against Servette, and then that Birmingham game is one to look forward to at the weekend as well. So let's go.
I haven't told this to Andre or Brandon yet, but I did message Lee. I am so excited. It looks like I am going to go to the UK over Christmas. And that includes being in London and getting to meet Lee. Though, Brandon, you will totally sympathize with this. I messed up because in the US, when we list matches, we do the visiting team first and then home team second. So when I booked it, I was like, great, they're hosting Aston Villa. That's going to be a great match. I'll go to the bridge. They will be away. Lee has promised to potentially take me to the training ground anyway, or at the very least, have a glass of wine with him. So I'm looking forward to that.
Let's do it.
You know what, Emily? That's, you know, it happens, you know, between messing that up, the metric system and driving on the other side of the road. They just got to make it hard on us.
Like, I'm talking about, I do that anyway.
A shout out this week has to go to Chelsea women's goaler Ann Katchenberger, because I mean, we always shout out Mindy and Kepa and the defense for their clean sheets, but when you got 11 goals to nil, you know, and you made some heavy saves, especially in the Man City game, then you definitely need the recognition. My shout outs is to that Chelsea women's defense as well. I know the scores are getting, you know, all the highlights, but what I say, defense wins championship.
She's a warrior.
Yeah, no doubt. I wanted to talk about Connor Gallagher a little bit, because it almost seems like he's on loan and he's like our secret weapon. He took points off of City. He's assisted against Tottenham as well. So like, yeah, he's great. But I also have to plug a little bit of a thing that I'm doing. Going to the NWSL championship game, going to be with the Gaming Society. So we're going to do some fun stuff there. So be on the lookout on my social media channels as well, because we're going to do some fun little contests and try to get hype about this NWSL championship game that's going to be in Louisville on Saturday. So I'm really excited.
Remember, you all can find anything and everything on the Chelsea Fifth Stand app. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, all that. Share, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell your mamas that we want blue flags flying high across America. We want to thank y'all for joining us. We're going to see you all next week. Let's go Blues!